Today's Global IQ Minute is with Gillian Sorensen. She is a senior advisor at the United Nations Foundation, an organization that seeks to advocate and support the United Nations and United Nations agencies throughout the world.
Thank you so much for joining us on Global IQ Minute.
It's my pleasure.
The chair of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Congresswoman Ross Layton, is sponsoring legislation to make U.S. funding of the United Nations voluntary and conditional. Do you feel that this legislation has any chance of passage, and what would be the ramifications?
At the moment, it does not, because the House would not pass it. The Senate, rather, would not pass it. If it did pass, though, in my view, it would be very damaging. It would be very short-sighted. It would negate much of what we have tried to do with and for the United Nations, efforts that are in our national interest, our security interests, our safety interests, our health interests, and most importantly, it would abdicate our leadership role in the United Nations. It would leave a vacuum, and you can be sure that vacuum would be filled by others. I think it would make us a diminished nation.
And when you say vacuum would be filled by others, which countries are you thinking of specifically?
Well, the European Union as a group is working together often, and they'll step in, and often have already. And other big countries, India, China, whatever, they see an opportunity and an open space for leadership, and they step up.
Now, I read recently that you commissioned a poll.
Yes.
Reviewing and surveying what the American public thought about the United Nations, and I'm sure our listeners would be interested in the results of that poll.
Yes, it's very interesting. The poll says that 80% of Americans approve of the UN. They generally support it. They care about it. The problem is that support is somewhat passive. It doesn't move them to speak out or to write their congressman or to take action. So it is good and helpful to have that general support, but we wish that we could galvanize it.
Who conducted the poll?
It was conducted by Public Strategies, very well-known and respected polling service, and I think those numbers are solid.
Now, when you say passive support, what would you like to see people do? And in fact, our listeners are largely composed of members of the World Affairs Council, teachers of social studies and geography. So what would you advise them to do to be more supportive of the United Nations?
Well, first to regain some of the enthusiasm, the confidence, the optimism that surrounded the birth of the United Nations. And that, I must add, was bipartisan. This wasn't a Republican or a Democratic issue. Both parties, both sides, understood the value of diplomacy and the extraordinary opportunity for leadership for the United States in the United Nations. And that need, that opportunity, continues to this day. But I would like to see this general support more vocal, be more vocal.
And by that, do you mean writing your elected officials?
Writing their officials,
op-eds,
calling into the talk radio shows, and in particular, speaking to their members of Congress. Because those people are taking steps, voting up or down on certain things that affect the U.S. and the U.N., or to say it differently, America and the world.
The UN has had a very, very difficult mandate in Afghanistan, and its work is probably very much underappreciated. In fact, just last week there was a tragedy where the UN lost three of their valued staff members. Tell us about what the role that it's playing in Afghanistan now.
Well, the UN has been there for many years, and when the US pulls out from both Iraq and Afghanistan, the UN will still be there. We've done a great deal of work on literacy. We have helped in drafting constitutions. We have helped to train civil police. We have helped on issues related to women and girls and violence against women. We have helped set up birth clinics because infant mortality is so high. And by the way, the literacy issue is not just for young people. The illiteracy rate in Afghanistan is so high, even among police officers and other officials. Reading is very important, and so we work hard on that. And on all the matters related to governance, to the beginnings of democratic systems, the UN is doing all that we can.
So let's take a country like Libya, which is in the process of having its revolution. Mm-hmm. Is the UN now having a strong presence there?
Absolutely, yes. In setting up the election that's coming, free and fair elections and monitoring that and helping train and encourage young leaders who want to stand for office. They have the idealism, they have the capacity, but they don't have much experience. So we're trying to help fill that gap and get this country, which has tremendous resources, on its feet and to set an example of democracy in North Africa that can function.
Now, in Tunisia, they recently had their elections mm-hmm. to elect the Constituent Assembly. The Islamic Party won the majority. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing any shifting there of women's rights? Because Tunisia historically is known as a country that was very forward-thinking in this area.
Yes, there are unintended consequences to democracy. We have to be prepared to accept some of those outcomes. I can't say that it will meet our best hope, but I think it's moving in the right direction.
We have a number of students who are listening. What would you say to them, those who are interested in having a career in international service?
I would say it is one of the most interesting, challenging careers that you could possibly choose. And I don't mean just in foreign service, just becoming a diplomat. I would say that whatever profession you choose, whether it's law or medicine or finance or teaching or social service, there are ways to consider that and to work in that in the international arena. And a good time to think about it is early. How can you apply your training, your intelligence, your skills in the larger world? How can we connect with the human family and help where help is most needed?
I suspect you have a number of internships for college students.
Well, I'm now based at the UN Foundation. Mm-hmm. We have in our larger office in Washington more than 20. In the New York office, we have only a handful. But I should mention that the United Nations itself has internships at the graduate school level, 175 at any given time, and three classes in the course of a year. Those are international.
Open to everybody
yes,
around the world,
open
right?
Open to everyone mm-hmm. and quite competitive, but I think they're extremely interesting. But one must think ahead and plan ahead. You can find out about it on the UN website, un.org.
Great. That's great information. Tell us about your work at the UN Foundation.
Well, the UN Foundation was launched about 12 years ago by the billion-dollar contribution from Ted Turner. It's independent of the UN, but its stated mission is to help the UN achieve its further goals and work. In the last year, the UN Foundation joined the United Nations Association as one, a new alliance of UNA and UNF together. The UNA has chapters across the country. So now we're a stronger citizens group and doing good work, I think, with and for the UN. And I'm very proud to be part of that.
Well, we'd be delighted to support your work in any way that we can.
Thank you.